Today is the 12th of June, 2016. You've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville House Church. And just to bring everybody up to date, we had a good time of fellowship this morning, worshiping with the Joplin Sovereign Grace Baptist Church with Michael Smith and family, and Loretta and Beth. And tonight we are going to be singing. The first selection has been out of the Psalter, page 65, and it's Psalm 146a. Page 65, Psalm 146a. Now we enjoy singing the Psalms. Most churches don't sing the Psalms anymore, even though Scripture says sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I guess they've just decided to leave that portion out of their worship service. But anyway, 146a. Mark, you want to start that?
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, oh my soul, Jehovah, praise. While I live, I'll praise Jehovah, praise my God through all my days. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Happy is the man that hath Jacob's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. He has made the earth and heaven, seas and all that they contain. He will keep his truth forever, rights of those oppressed maintain. Who Jehovah gives the hungry, sight Jehovah gives the blind. Freedom gives he to the prisoner, cheer to those bowed down in mind. Well, Jehovah loves the righteous, to the stranger is a stay. Helps the fatherless and widow, but subverts the sinner's way. Jehovah reigns forever, through all ages he is king. Even he, thy God, O Zion, to Jehovah praises sing.
Okay, the next selection is taken out of the old school hymnal. Page 254. Verses 1, 3, and 4.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world's woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan, I'm only going over home. I'll soon be free from every trial, my body sleep in the churchyard. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter on my great reward. I'm going there to see my brethren who've gone before me one by one. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I want to wear a crown of glory. When I get home to that good land, I want to shout salvation's story in concert with a blood-washed band. I'm going there to see my Savior, to sing His praise forevermore. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Well, let's sing 513 before we transition over to the part of our service. 513. My dear Jesus, blessed Jesus, what a grand and gracious theme. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, what a bright and brilliant beam. Oh, my Jesus, dearest Jesus, how I love to hear the sound. Thou whose name is filled with music, may I in thy love be found. Precious Jesus, fairest Jesus, may I love thee as I should. Thou art altogether lovely, thou art altogether good. Oh, sweet Jesus, wondrous Jesus, what great works thy hands have wrought. What great things for wretched sinners. Oh, how precious is the thought. Oh, thou gracious, loving Jesus, wouldst thou raise me to thy feet, so that in such hallowed posture thy dear name I might repeat. Jesus, Jesus, lovely Jesus, I would dwell before thy throne, praying grace and seeking finding, ever humbly pressing on. Oh, dear Jesus, my Lord Jesus, how I love to speak thy name. Thou art lovely on our mountains, in our valleys you're the same. Precious Jesus, my dear Savior, thou thy Father's darling Son, how we hope one day to see thee when our race down here is run. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight in this service in a special way. We ask that your word would be open to us, grant us the liberty to speak those things that would exalt and glorify your Son. And we thank you for the hope that we have because of Christ's completed work for his people. We ask these things in your name and for your glory alone. In Christ's name, amen. Well, tonight I want to look at a passage in the first chapter of Luke. First chapter of Luke. Now, we've talked about this before, but I think it's apropos for this evening, because the Lord led me to this, you know, and beginning with verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things, wherein thou hast been instructed. So we see here Luke giving the preface and the reason why he wrote the book of Luke. And he goes on and he says in verse 5 there, Mark, I want Mark to help me read. Mark, I'd like for you to read verse 5 down through verse 19.
There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the children of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this, for I am an old man? My wife will stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings.
And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak unto the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in these days, wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For if he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by that this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwell around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. Now, Mark, if you would read 66 down to 80, and try to read loudly so everyone can hear.
And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to form the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his only covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and waxed strong, and spirit was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Well, this is quite a story of the birth of John the Baptist. And we see in the second chapter of Luke, which is very well known to most people because they oftentimes get it read on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, the story of the birth of our Savior. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, she shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I'm going to stop there for now. And I'm just going to make some comments about this. Now we see that the several themes going through these two chapters. Of course, the first theme I want to point out is the absolute providence of God in His announcing not only to Zacharias but also to Zacharias' wife the birth of John the Baptist. We also see election throughout these two chapters, the election of God. We also see preservation, and we also see reprobation. And you say, well, where can you see these themes? Well, we're going to look at them a little bit. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I want to just point out a few scriptures here and then we'll conclude this study. In verse 18, we see Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Zacharias was questioning the announcement of the angel. Okay? And he wanted proof. He was looking for a sign. And of course, verse 19, Gabriel actually gave him the sign, didn't he? He said, You will be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, verse 20. And that was actually the case. He was not able to speak until these things were performed. Now, we also see the same thing happened with Mary as it relates to the announcement of the angel in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. This is election. You say, well, how can that be election? Anyone who finds favor with God is elected of God. And he shall be great. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, this is all foretelling what was already known, of course, by the angel, and also, of course, was just merely the foretelling of what was going to absolutely come to pass. Now, of course, Mary had the same questions in her mind as to how this was going to come to pass. In verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man, and so on. And so the answer was given, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God, born of Mary. Now notice there's also the duality, not only of Christ was going to be born to Mary, but that he was also her Savior. Verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My Savior. She was not immaculately conceived, as the Roman Catholic Church tries to purport. She was a sinner saved. She was in need of a Savior. Now, she says, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Okay. Now, she says, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their own hearts, of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And we see that that was absolutely a prophetic utterance, because that's exactly what happened with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ones that sat in high seats. And Christ put down these mighty from their seats. And he exalted people of low degree, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Zacchaeus and Mary Magdalene and all of the other people that he healed and so on. Now it says in verse 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Who is Israel? Israel is the elect of God. This is speaking of election. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The seed, of course, being the seed of Christ. The seed of Christ in election. And he says in verse 70, let's look at verse 68. Notice Zacharias is prophesying here, and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. We know that the Jacob's fleshly name was Jacob, and Jacob's spiritual name was Israel, speaking of all of the elect of God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He didn't make salvation possible for all men. But here the prophecy of Zacharias is saying that he has redeemed his people. He's redeemed Israel, the elect of God. Now he also says that in verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Notice there. How could these prophets have been around since the world began? Well, we see in Ephesians 1 that he has chosen us in him from the foundation of the world. And by the way, that includes all of his elect. You know, not just some of his elect were chosen from the foundation of the world, but all of his elect were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That includes his holy prophets. And then he goes on and he says, in this passage in Luke, he says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That's speaking of reprobation, because the reprobate hates God and they hate his people. And we're going to be saved from our enemies, and we're going to be saved from the hand of all those that hate us, ultimately. But they may take our physical lives here on this earth, but the reality of it is, we're not going to be abiding. If we're one of God's elect, and we hope in Christ, we have a hope in Christ, you know. It says in verse 72 that this prophecy says to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This holy covenant between the Godhead is that Christ would come and save his people from their sins. This is the holy covenant. This is the, verse 73, this is the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we would be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. This is preservation. This is the doctrine of preservation taught here. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is not the righteousness of man. This is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know. And so we see that John the Baptist was really the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and he was really a preparation for Christ to come. In other words, he says in verse 76, speaking of John, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Okay. But, you know, Christ is the child that is going to be the Redeemer of Israel. And Christ is the one that gives us the knowledge of salvation unto his people. And he is the one that gives us the light, the light. Now, I want to go on now over to a couple things here to look at in the second chapter of Luke. You know, we see the birth of Jesus Christ. We see the heavenly host announcing his birth. We see in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Notice that's the same term that Mary uses over in the prior chapter when she says in verse 47, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse 11 here says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer. And Jesus Christ is the only one who perfectly fulfilled the law. And he also, we can see, he did perform that which he came to do, which is die on the cross to save his people from their sins. Now, the thing that I want to point out is that this none of this was based upon the will of man. None of this was based upon man's activity. This was all prophesied before it happened. The birth of John was prophesied before it happened. The birth of Christ was prophesied before it happened. Angels from heaven were the ones that announced these two births. This had nothing to do with man's plans. This is why we see God's absolute sovereignty so revealed in these two chapters. not only in election, in salvation, in redemption, in sending a Savior, in preservation, in preserving His people, in redemption, in redeeming Israel, in coming to save His people from their sins. When we think about these things, when we realize that Christ would never have come to this earth had there not been a fall. Christ would have had no need to come and save His people from their sins had not we all died in Adam. And there would have been no reason for God to shower His unconditional love upon His people through redemption if we had not fallen in Adam, and if we had not been born and conceived in sin. The 9th chapter of Romans, it says, the children not being yet born, not having done any good or evil, but the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So therefore, we were loved in Christ before the foundation of the world. But the Adam, the flesh of us, we were dead, were we not? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Now, as far as the purpose of God's sending the Son as a Savior, is the atonement to bring reconciliation to the people, to Israel, to the people of God, bring reconciliation. We know that Christ was a sin bearer, and He bore the sins of all of His people on the tree. But it also tells us in another place that He was slain from the foundation of the world. Now the other issue is when we talk about the aspect of irresistible grace, you know, could Mary have resisted being conceived by the Holy Spirit and bringing forth the Savior to His people? Absolutely not. It says that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would be conceived of the Holy Ghost and she would bring forth this child. Her will had nothing to do with it. And she also was unconditionally loved. She said, I rejoice in God my Savior. And so we see that for all of God's people, His grace cannot be resisted. His grace will win out in the hearts of His people. And then as far as perseverance, I mean, God does not start anything that He doesn't finish. God's people will persevere to the end. They will have ups and downs. They will have times of succumbing to sin. They'll have times of questioning their faith and their election and their hope in Christ and so on. But the reality of it is, Christ is the one who performed all things for Israel. Christ is the one that performed all things for His people. And for His people, they will persevere until all of those people are gathered at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they're singing and shouting, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and wisdom and might. For only Christ is worthy to open the seals of the book. And so, these two chapters are resoundingly clear that God is sovereign over all things, including the birth of His Son, the manifestation of the prophet's foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist, of the angels coming and proclaiming the birth of Jesus Christ, and the fact of the fulfillment that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and all the other prophecies, the messianic prophecies that were foretold, that is now coming into fruition through these two historical accounts of the birth of John the Baptist in Christ. So hopefully this has been an encouragement to all of God's people. And I'd like to sing in here. There's a song. I don't know if I can find it or not. It's called "Who Is This That Comes From Far?" And if you can, if someone can help me find this, that would be helpful. It's in the old school hymnal, and it starts out by saying, "Who is this that comes from far?" I don't see it in here.
Two hundred?
Okay. Yeah. Number 200. Mark, you wanna start that?
Yeah.
Who is this that comes from far, with his garments dipped in blood, strong triumphant traveler? Is he man or is he God? Alive and reigning in righteousness, Son of God and man I am. Mighty to redeem your race, Jesus is your Savior's name. Wide the heavenly gates unfold, closed no more by death and sin. Lo, the conquering Lord, behold, come the King of glory in. Hark, you jolly host inquire, who is the Almighty King? Hark again the answering choir, thus his strains of triumph sing. He whose powerful arm alone on his foes destruction hurled, he who hath the victory won, he who saved you by his blood, he whose God pure law fulfilled, Jesus the incarnate Word. He whose truth with blood was sealed, he is heaven's all-glorious Lord.
It's taken from Psalm Isaiah 63, 1 through 4. Mark, you want to dismiss us?
Dear Lord, thank you for the message my death is given today. We praise you for your grace and truth in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.